Hello everyone, this is Dan Henn. Just wanted to get this call started. I don't see that we have anybody on. So, who's on the call? Oh, let's see. There you go. Who's there? Who's there on the call with me here?
Nancy Doyle.
Nancy?
Yep.
Okay, great. Great to have you here, Nancy. I'm going to get started on a call right now. It's just you and me, and I'd like to see if we could go ahead and get rolling. I've got some things that I want to talk to you guys. I've got the call recording, and I'm going to try and hopefully save some time at the end for some Q&A if you guys have some questions as more people join the call. But what I'd like to talk about on this call here today, Nancy, is we're just going to try and get the ball rolling here, things that you can guys can start doing. I'll be talking more in detail in some of these various topics when we do the webinar series here over the next 3 weeks, basically, because we'll have the first webinar call, our group webinar, as this Wednesday. And then the following Wednesday, September the 2nd, and then the following Wednesday after that, on the 9th, I believe those are scheduled at 1 p.m. Eastern time. I'm not sure what time zone you are, Nancy. But so first thing I'd like to talk about, the big thing about doing this type of work, and again, not sure where everybody is in regards to this, before we even get going into talking about book, newspaper, radio, or anything else, the big thing that you guys have to be able to understand is getting organized, you know, being more time management, being efficient with your time, because as you take on more duties, and again, trust me, I've been there, done that. I've been working and struggling with that, you know, over the last couple of years, especially as more items come on your plate. So I wanted to start, you know, talking about that, but, you know, because again, the primary things, again, we're going to talk about is everything that I talked about in the webinar that we had last Wednesday, but I'm talking a little bit more specifics, a little more details on things that you should do to get started. And again, I'm recording this call, so this will be available for you to be able to access later and review the information. So if you don't get all the notes and things done, you can listen to that later. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about here in regards to or in relation to getting organized, one thing that I've been looking at are actually a couple of different things. One, if you've heard, there's a book called Getting Things Done by David Allen. This book, you know, I've seen a lot of things on the web. There's actually even a LinkedIn group that you can be part of that I've seen and is very helpful. Some good people out there talking about various apps that are available and things to help you manage your time. But the big focus that I've seen a lot of people have there is talking on trying to have a zero inbox, which almost seems to a certain degree comical. That you could even have a zero inbox, but you know the way that the things that they talk about really make sense. You know, I'm still in the early stages of using that. Another one that I was put on to is bulletjournal.com. Bulletjournal.com is a site that you can go on how to make a handwritten bullet journal that you can keep in your back pocket or purse or whatever, briefcase, however you keep things. And if you want to be electronic, there's ways that you can do that electronic, so using such as Evernote or OneNote. And It's important that you try to be organized and do these things before we even get into the material, because if you don't have your time managed properly, then you're just going to add more projects to your plate and have more unfinished things that most of us tend to do. And when you're doing this in order to create this celebrity status that we're trying to achieve here, you've got to complete things. You got to do things. You got to keep the ball moving to the extent that you have staff that you can pass certain things on to, have them work on things, because in general, for the most part, it's a lot easier to review things and make adjustments than having to come up with something from scratch. So, the next thing is, in regards to your calendar, something that I've learned and has worked out very well for me, is when you're doing this type of work, when we're creating celebrity, whether you're doing this for an article or a book or what a blog, you need to set aside some quiet time. Do what many of us in the business of the marketing aspect call it working on the business, so that it's important that you do that and you set aside that time. This is a time when the door should be closed. Your calls should go to voicemail. Everything should be handled by your staff, and they're taking messages if necessary, or actually dealing with issues. You should be in this process. It should be helping you to empower your staff to be able to handle calls and issues that may happen. But the thing that you want to look at here is you're trying to avoid the distractions. Have that time where you can and focus on that. For me, my marketing time is Wednesday mornings. I start with a networking group that I go to at 7 o'clock in the morning, and that lasts until noon. I generally try to keep this to focusing on marketing related activities, working on that aspect of the business, sales. So this is whether I'm writing my article for the paper, putting a blog post, or doing anything of that nature. Another thing that I do that also helps me is that I try to cluster my client meetings between Tuesday and Thursday, being that I just said I use the marketing time Wednesday morning, so I only have Wednesday afternoon, Tuesday, and Thursday. I try to keep appointments off of Monday and Wednesday for many reasons. One, it helps me to deal with more with the technical work that I'm not being able to get done during the Tuesday through Thursday time generally, because I have my appointments in there and have them stacked, as well as if I wanted to leave early and or not be here on Friday or Monday, have a long weekend, it makes it a lot easier to do that as well and not have to reschedule appointments. So it's important that you do that. And also keep in mind too, another little trick is that when you have your staff schedule appointments, if they schedule you something at 10 o'clock in the morning, try to have them focused on, just like if you were going to the doctor or dentist, they tell you what slots are available within the next few days, and have them say that we've got if you scheduled somebody at 10 and there's a 11 o'clock slot open, try to force that person into that 11 o'clock slot so that you can go back to back, and it gives you more of a time that you can have those bigger blocks to do other work, as opposed to meeting with somebody at 10, and then you meet with somebody at noon, and then you're meeting at somebody at 2. So you have these 1 little hour blocks, and of course, that just allows your meetings to run over, and or you're not having a long time to focus on the next project that you need to get done. So I wanted to just kind of focus on that, because if you don't get that in order, then the rest of this is going to be very difficult. Again, my point here is that I want you guys to be able to do this stuff. I don't want you to just put it as another item to be done that just sits there in some work in progress, where it's 10% done to 90% done. This is something you need to get done and get done right away. Okay, so now let's get into more of the technical part here. So, we're going to focus first on writing a book. just because it's one of the most important things. It's a lead magnet item. Okay, lead magnet is something that you have that can attract the people. And again, we're hopefully focusing on the quality people that you want to try and get. So having the book is the best lead magnet in your possession, in your shock and awe box, and nothing says that you're the expert better than a book. Okay, now, what I want you guys to start focusing on the book, there's some preliminary things that you need to start looking at. First, what is it something that you want to write? Look at what your target market is. Who is it that you focus on? For example, for me, the two primary ones that I do right now is real estate and tax resolution. If I have a third one, it's dealing with professionals such as doctors, dentists, veterinarians, chiropractors, to a certain degree, attorneys, but engineers, architects, anybody who deals with the professional aspect of our world and the market. And so, a lot of the issues that they face are going to be very similar, if not almost identical. So I want to try to have things that are focused there. Now, in my case, my book that should be going to print here shortly is a more of a generic book. And so my next book that I'm going to be writing is, as I mentioned, I think on the call Wednesday, is going to be a tax resolution specific book. In the process, though, I have done little booklets and some special reports specifically for the real estate industry, because that allows me to have something that I can use to hand out at certain events and do things. But you need to look at what your target market. Again, look at your existing clients. What are your best clients? What are the ones that you like working with? What are the areas that you know the most about in the things that might be more specific? Do you work with contractors? Do you work with car dealerships that might have a certain special nuance? Do you work with banks? Do you work with those types of companies that there are some special tax rules and things that you need to know, and that you can make yourself a specialist in that? So look at what your best clients are doing. Do they pay you on time? Do they question your bills or not? Good clients are generally not going to question bills that often. They value your service. Do they actually listen to your advice when you tell them to do something? They actually do it. Many times clients don't do those things that we ask them, and then they, just cause us more grief later because they didn't post journal entries or they didn't make the estimated payments, and then they get mad at us later because they have this big tax bill. So look at those types of things. Do they respect your time? Or do they call you 100 times a day or send you, 50 emails? Obviously, I'm exaggerating there, but I'm sure some of us have had, those types of clients where they call or they email you a lot. And if they do, they're not valuing your time. Obviously, it depends on the client. If they're really paying you a very, very good fee, then that's okay. But you still need to communicate to them that you need to try and, keep the calls to a minimum, because the disruptions, are not helping you in providing the service to them as well as to other clients. Okay, again, look at the topics that, we're trying to come up with a topic for a book that you can start putting materials together. Again, you can look at more generically tax resolution, tax planning, tax consulting. Look at the industries, again, like real estate, medical professionals, dentists. When it comes to things that, for example, even tax resolution, you can be a specialist that deals with, say, for example, offers and compromise. So if you know offers and compromise, you could probably come up with, it may be difficult to come out with a whole book, but again, a book, keep in mind, guys, the book doesn't have to be the size of War and Peace to be a book. A book can be, as little as 20 to 30 pages, and generally probably shouldn't be more, in our case, 150 to 200 pages. So it seems like it's a very daunting task. But you know, you need to look at it, take it in the small pieces. If you write a special report can be 12 to 20 pages. Now, again, a special report, generally, as far as that's concerned, your typeface is going to be a little bit bigger. Your margins are probably going to be a little bit smaller to make it and have it, you know, if you will, have some fluff in it. It's really, you know, 20 pages, but if you did it like you would normally do a letter, it probably would only be 8 pages. So, you know, that's fine, but that's all part of the marketing aspect of it. Now, in writing a book, what you need to do once you've gotten your topic, work to create a basic outline. You want to create a basic outline. You're looking at 9 to 12 main headline topics. Okay, these headline topics eventually will be the chapters of your book. You know, try and be in the shoes of your client and try and see what are the issues that they face. Look at some of the things that they have problems with or questions. Be more cognizant of the things that these people ask you. Look at come up with those 9 to 12 main headline topics. You know, do they have cash flow problems? Do they have employee problems? Do they have what kind of tax problems do they have? Do they have sales tax issues? Do they have payroll tax issues? Do you have unemployment tax issues? Is there an income tax issue maybe in your state? Here in Florida, we don't have that except for C corporations. And so that's not generally a big concern. I don't have that many C corporation clients. But, you know, if you're in a state where there's an S corp or a partnership return and they have some minimum tax or they do things differently, you know, those are the other things that you need to consider. You know, how do they set up their bookkeeping, and are there specific issues related to that? Are there specific programs and software that is geared more toward their industry that might be helpful? Again, you're trying to put something together that you want to hand to them and say, "Hey, I know your industry." So if you're dealing with, you know, doctors, maybe you want to talk about the, you know, paperless document management stuff that they have. Do you know the HIPAA rules a little bit, and you understand how that works and it affects their business? You know, dealing with Medicare, maybe you deal something with that. So again, you're starting with those 9 to 12 main headline items. You're going to break it down even further by coming up with, say, 3 to 5 items per headline. Now, these are going to be your subchapters, and this is going to help you organize and put the things down into little smaller groups. And then once you've started putting that together, and even as you go through it, you want to try and have subheadlines of subheadlines. So now you're going to have potentially, again, another 3 to 5 items per there. And all you're doing is just making down an outline, if you will, sort of a table of contents, a detailed table of contents that will allow you to put together material that, once you look at the subheadlines now here, these sub-subheadlines, if you had 3 items there and you had those 3 items in a book, those 3 items might, you know, cover, you know, 1 item might cover anywhere from a page to 3 pages, 4 pages, depending on what you have to say in regards to that. So again, we're breaking it down into smaller pieces. So, you know, remember the phrase that you eat an elephant 1 bite at a time, okay? We don't eat the whole thing, and that's what you're trying to do. And then if you really look at it, and if you make this smaller projects, you also look at it that you're not trying to slay a giant dragon. You're trying to deal with, you know, small little dragons that are much easier to deal with. And so when you're dealing with these smaller projects, then when you write one of these things, again, they can start piecing together, and now you've got special reports, you've got other things that you can make booklets or handouts or things that you can use that can use for other things. And again, these are items that you can make those, you know, we talk about, you know, creating a blog. You can make it, turn it into a speaking engagement if you do that. You know, there are things that you can turn it into a short video or an audio item. And so there's, the term is to repurpose a lot of this stuff. And again, I mentioned that if you have staff people that are creative, that would probably be one of the first people that I would go to. You know, if you've got a manager or a senior or a staff person that might have some knowledge of a particular area, have them just try and start writing some of this stuff. So that would be the first place I would look to. Now, we'll talk more in detail on, you know, where to go and how to use if you're going to outsourcing some of this stuff. But, you know, right now we're talking, this is a jumpstart call. We're trying to make this as something that you can, you know, hopefully get going and get started with. Now, next we're going to talk about the newspaper article. Now, as part of your purchase of the kit, you've got a sample press release. So what I want you to do is take that information and rewrite it to a newspaper or talk radio stations. That one in general you can use for those two industries. Put your pertinent information, phone number, email, company name, your name, whatever it is that you're doing, and you're going to send these items to these people, and you're going to tell them you're available to ask a tax expert. So you want to do something of that nature. I write my article, it's Ask a Business Expert series. So I do that and I cover the tax aspect. And I'm in a four-week rotation with other individuals. We've got a marketing person. We've got, we've got a financial advisor, and I think there's an attorney in the group. And we all rotate around and writing the article, and so, you know, that's how I get to do that. Now, again, what I want you to do is with the topics, think about the topics. Again, I've given you a head start with the 50 topics, and if you've gotten in there, you've noticed that I gave an extra 25 extra topics to think about. But you have to be creative. Notice that when you read articles, newspaper, look at the headlines. The headlines are there, and they're kind of shocking, in-your-face type of things that are designed to get you to read that. Okay, you know, when you know, I'd say the biggest example that I could come up with right now is my girls were watching the movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and that's the basic premise, that somebody's trying to write a magazine article. And so Kate Hudson is the person who's in there, and she writes that. And so How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. You know, if you write an article with that kind of a headline, it's shocking, and, you know, people are going to want to read that. So I use something, you know, I gave a couple examples here of 10 ways to reduce your taxes with your vacation home. Seven amazing things to do if you owe the IRS. You know, five secret ways to save taxes or improve cash flow or anything of that nature. So think along those lines when you create your topic. In fact, I think I found there's a site out there that actually will help you create. I don't recall it right offhand. I think I might be able to find it, but there's a site out there that you can use to help you generate headlines. It's called, let's see here. I'll think about that later and send that to you if I can't find this here before. But there's a site out there that you can go and you type in your particular topic, and it will give you a whole list of different headlines to use, and it's actually very helpful. And okay, so the next thing, after you've put that press release together, or even if you haven't done that, I would suggest contacting your local newspaper directly by email or call to speak to the editor or business editor, because generally that's where you're going to want to be to write these articles. The editors and journalists have, a lot of them have their email addresses nowadays listed in the paper. You know, look at your local paper. Here for me, we have the Florida Today. We also have nearby is the Florida Sentinel. Look at local magazines. We have, as mentioned, you guys, I'm on the Space Coast is what we're known as, since this is where we launched the shuttle and all the other rocket, many other rockets. So we have Space Coast Business, and we have Space Coast Living. Space Coast Living is a high-end magazine that's designed for the higher wealth, generally higher wealth type of individual. So if that's your market, then that's something that you need to look at. Also, check your local business journals. The Brevard Business News is one that we have, or even neighborhood newspapers. We have the Hometown News. We have a little Rockledge magazine, or even Senior Living. Again, look at what your target market is reading. You know what? Try to find those types of things out. Especially if you've got a good friend or a good client that you can ask those types of things, that maybe they might be able to give you some inside information to help narrow that down. So, you know, try and contact these people. Find out if they're looking for article writers, that if you can get into some kind of rotation, or even just, you know, ask them if that's something that can be done, you know, once a month, that you'd like to do that. You'd be surprised once you get in there and you get, you know, you occupy that space. You know, if you write good articles, if you write the, you know, you get it in the right spot, you have good topics, good headlines, you know, you will get business from it. You know, I've gotten all kinds of business from it. In fact, my very first article that I wrote, I happened to get a guy who was a former three-star general that had retired into this area, and he was doing some side work, getting some decent 1099s that he was looking at becoming a, you know, trying to create an S corporation to save money, because that just happened to be my first article, was if I was self-employed, how can I save money? And I talked about, you know, converting them into an S corporation. And then as a side note, I want you guys to also look into the Harrow, the helperreporter.com. Look in their site, look at setting up an account and getting the daily emails, and find out, you know, I get the, like I mentioned earlier, the three times a day, I get an email from them, and it has a bunch of different headlines. It takes probably about a minute for you to watch a headline or read all the headlines. Generally, there's 20 to 30 in each email, and look at what's available for you to make comments on. If there's nothing that's available, then you just delete it. If there's something that sounds interesting, then you can click a link that takes you to somewhere lower in the email that says specifically what that person is looking for. So if they were looking for starting a business, but then they're looking for directly, you know, starting a, you know, somebody who started a business in the last 3 years, and that doesn't fit you, then obviously that's something that you're not gonna reply. They also tell you don't pitch these people, that these are generally journalists or, you know, other people who are looking for things. They're just looking for opportunities for people to help them with their research. And so if you can give them the information and get quoted in their material, whether it's a magazine article, a newspaper, or a book, then that's just something else that you can tout, that you were cited in a book, which, again, adds that credibility to you. So don't discount that. Okay, getting on the radio. Look at your local talk radio stations. Most of them are on the AM side of the dial. And as I said, generally you're going to look at AM because most FM stations are not talk radio, but if you have a FM talk radio station, I would generally look at their wattage or output, their range of distance is greater in an FM station versus an AM station. But make sure you take a look at that. Make sure that the station kind of fits with what you're doing. If you're let's say a Democrat and you're more liberal and you're looking at a station that's more conservative Republican station, then that might not be one thing that you want to be on, because especially if you get politically charged, that may not be a good avenue for you to be. But look at and then look at what their formats are. If it's a sports related show, then that may not be the type of station you want to be on, unless that's where your speakers or your target market is. But again, being on a sports talk radio and talking tax may not be the type of thing you're looking for. But if you can take a nice spin on it, such as Tony Romo, who's a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, signs a new contract, and what does that mean for him tax-wise? That maybe that's something that would be helpful, especially if you deal in that niche, if you deal with sports athletes. What are the state tax ramifications and other things that he has to look at? And that's something that can also translate into other avenues of people, like maybe a professional speaker who travels a lot, and they're earning their monies in other states, and you have to look at that kind of aspect. So, be creative, think outside the box when it comes to that kind of being on the radio station. Again, you're going to use that sample press release, send that out to them, and explain that you're really looking to become a guest on somebody's show. So obviously, if you can do that, you're typically going to be on somebody's local show. The station that I'm on has a lot of local people, and so you just have to look and see what's generally the best fit. Call or email the talk radio stations. I sent an email who happened to go to the general manager of the station, but consider the general manager or the program director, and see if you can get them to talk to you. And again, think about the topics and things that you're going to be talking about. Think about the topics, the creative headlines that we talked about earlier, and those are the types of things that you're going to want to talk to them about. Now, when you talk into the station, if you can, avoid the salespeople, because they're going to want to talk to you about advertising. Advertising is not something that we're really looking for at this time. If you want to pursue that, you could always inquire about that and see what kind of rates they have and things like that. I've looked at from sponsoring the weather to just doing a general ad spot. But when you're talking with radio, it's a lot more expensive. So is newspaper. But we're not looking necessarily for advertising. We're looking for the publicity, the ability to get out there and get your name out there and create that expert status that you have something important to say. Okay, so again, keep in mind the topics, and I've talked about the book, I've talked about the newspaper, I've talked about radio. We're talking about topics, and we're going to talk about the headlines and things that you're going to create there. And again, a lot of this stuff can be used multiple ways. So just keep that in mind as you're going through and doing this. Now, the next area I want to talk about, we're going to talk about the news, the networking, speaking engagements, audio, video, and blogs. And keep in mind that we're talking about these various items. The main part of this call today is to help you get started on something. And I want you to put together a timeline. I want you to schedule things out. This is working on the business. All of this is very important. And if you're trying to attract those good quality clients, and if you create this expert status, it'll be a lot easier to attract the quality people as opposed to the things that you just have to take to help pay the bills. So what I would suggest here is that of any of the seven things that I've been talking about to this point, I've talked about three. Pick one or two of them that you're going to focus on at this point in time. I would suggest, if you can, have the book be one of those. But look at doing one of these things to help gain you that notoriety. And then you can use all these various avenues as you start picking up other things. So if you start with the book and then you later get a newspaper article, at some point in time you can tout in your article that you have the book. Or if you get on the radio, you can tout that you have the newspaper article. Or if you have a blog, that you can tout that information. So again, you're going to promote, cross-promote, and repurpose a lot of this information. So let's talk about networking. Networking, if you don't already belong to your local chamber, not all chambers are the same. So look at possibly joining your chamber if you're not already. Look at ways that you can get involved, and look to try and see if your target market people are members of the chamber. So again, real estate is one of those areas, and real estate would be, they're involved, a lot of them are involved in local chamber activities. Or even, for example, for real estate, if I want to get into a niche group, so I joined the local Realty Association, so I can go to all their meetings and have other opportunities to get in front of the realtors and brokers and property managers. Now, if I want to look at the real estate investing, there's a complete separate group for that. We have a Central Florida Real Estate Investment Group. They generally meet in Orlando, but they happen to have a subchapter that meets out here in my area on the east coast of Florida. So look at that. Look at joining an exclusive networking group like BNI if you have it in your area, Business Network International. When I say it's exclusive, that if you're a member of that group, you're the only member in that category. There cannot be anybody else who directly competes with you on the main thing you're there for. So, for example, I'm in the BNI group. I'm the CPA. I talk about the tax stuff. We also have a payroll company, and we have an opening for a bookkeeper. Now, I can talk about bookkeeping since we don't have a bookkeeper. If I want to, that's one of the areas of business that I want to talk about. But I've got other people in the group that are selling for me, and so my job is to teach them what I'm looking for. So if I want to be specific in telling I'm looking for a real estate company, or I'm looking for a realtor, or I'm looking for a realtor that hits these certain parameters, and have them, give them information to have them look specifically for me, then, for example, realtors who deal with a lot of higher priced homes. You know, maybe they're dealing with most of the over $500,000 and up properties. Well, if they're making, dealing with those properties and they can move a lot of properties, then they're making good money, and that's the type of client that I want to be talking to. They need my services. They need my advice. And if I can have all the other things with a book and other things that are related to my expert status, then that's going to be easier for me to attract them if somebody, if I have a friend that's in my BNI group who comes in contact with this person, and they happen to say, hey, why don't you talk to Dan, and they call me, or I can send them, my shock and awe box. Next topic, speaking engagements. Again, topics. You've got the topics. Start creating slideshow presentations that you can do toward a specific niche. And this, again, is something that you can pass on to a staff person, or maybe you've got a teenager or a friend who likes to dabble in these types of things. Have them, give them some basic information and try to have them create the slideshow, because it's always obviously easier to review than to create it from scratch. Call or email industry niche groups and see if they are looking for speakers. Again, for me, if I was looking to do the real estate, I could go to the Real Estate Association. Maybe even look at, in the case of real estate, for law, for medical, they're always looking for continuing education. So look at becoming a continuing education registered person so that they can get credit for it. That makes it even better. So if they can come and get credit for it, especially if you're offering it for free, and maybe even for free you're including lunch or a dinner or something like that, it would be money well worth spend if you end up attracting a few high-priced clients that are in your wheelhouse as far as the type of work you're looking for. Again, contact your local chamber for speaking opportunities, and then even look at local Rotary or Kiwanis clubs. Those types of groups generally have professional business people, and those are opportunities to again, if you're standing in the front of the room, you're the expert. So people want to hear from you. So they when they want to hear from you, and if you start hitting some buttons, that their current CPA or tax professional is not providing, then chances are you may be able to talk to them from that standpoint. Now, the last couple of items that I have here is blogging and dealing with audio and visual, or excuse me, audio and video. Blogging, make sure your website has a blog section, and then I would highly recommend that you learn how to post a blog to your website. If you use WordPress, which is what I have my site on, WordPress is actually very easy to use. You just got to learn how to log into the into your site and how to create that and add pictures or add web links or things like that. I use that and I'm trying to be on a more weekly basis right now, with obviously the height of this second tax season has kind of been taking a lot of time from me. So trying to keep up with the writing has been difficult, but I'm trying to make a point to keep it going because you can't let it stop. Again, keep in mind that the blogging helps you with your site as far as the SEO, search engine optimization, and other things that Google looks for to rank your site higher when people use more generic terms. So blogging is very important. Again, comes back to the topics. Create your topics. Again, you're going to use catchy headlines. And again, there's nothing that says that you can't reuse, repurpose, because there are people who aren't going to read your blog that might read a special report or want to have a special report, or that don't read your blog and might read your newspaper article. So you reuse this stuff as much and as often as you can. Now, when it comes to audio and video, look at creating a YouTube channel. Create your own YouTube channel. You have to have a Gmail account in order to do so. But once you've done that, then again, look at the topics that you're doing. Look at creating video for YouTube. And it's obviously, if you can get a nice, decent video camera, that makes it easy for you to take things from a memory card, whether it's the larger size or the micro size. And then get it onto your computer so you can upload it to your YouTube channel. That's where you want to start doing some of those things. But you don't have to spend a lot of money to get a video camera. The key is to do it than to go and spend a lot of money. If you can't get a decent video camera, or if you don't already have one, and you've got a good smartphone that has a decent camera, then use that. It's better than nothing. Use the camera. Have somebody maybe even set it up for you, or put it on a stand that it'll capture you as you're trying to do this, and come up with a topic that you can kind of speak up for in general. Give yourself, if you will, a little script or a cheat sheet that you can use, that you can set up next to the camera, and have some bullet points that gives you opportunities to speak. If you're like me, I can speak on anything. I just need a lot of time some notes to help me keep the conversation going. And then set up a timer, because you generally don't want to have these be anything more than 10 minutes, because typically people aren't going to watch or pay attention too much. If they go longer than 10 minutes, if you can keep them 5 minutes, that's even better. So you don't have to go any crazy way of doing it. Get a decent microphone. You don't have to spend a lot of money. I've got a microphone I think I paid $20 at Best Buy for that I use on my computer. And it does decent video, but I'm looking at actually spending a little bit more just because I'm doing more things where I need a little bit more quality audio. But you can get an audio track and create that and put that out there as well.
And again, you create a video, you can actually pull the there's sites and software that you can go and you can pull the audio from your video. So you don't actually have to actually do the video and then go and create the audio. You can actually have them be done together. The hard thing is that if you're going to do that, try not to refer to too many things in video that you say, here, look at this. Then you'll have to describe what it is that you're doing. So you make sure that your audio listener, because a lot of times it's a lot easier to do that. And again, keep in mind if you're into this, you could look at and even creating a podcast. There are many podcast type of software or sites that you can do and sign up and register and get your podcast out there. And again, your podcasts generally are going to be 5-15 minutes to maybe up to an hour. And depending on your topic and how you're doing that. And again, your podcast can be just you talking, or you can even do an interview with somebody. I was listening to a podcast, I think it was last week, where the guy who was hosting it, what he would do is he would have people call in and send him a question, and he would play the question on the air, and then he would answer that question. And he would provide whatever additional information. And again, it's all audio, so I'm not seeing any video. And he'd just explain it and do it. And it's a lot easier to download or access from your phone, especially if you're traveling. And so you can start doing that and start touting your stuff there. And again, you know, you can tout on the podcast that you'll be at certain place speaking. Your book is coming out. Your article is going to hit the newspaper next week. You're going to be on the radio show at a certain time. It's just another avenue to try and help get that expert status. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, everybody, the stuff that I'm talking about here, a lot of your competition is not doing that. And if you can be, especially if you can be the one that's first to market in a lot of these things, it's going to be very helpful for you in the long run. So it's so that's where you want to look at. And that's pretty much what I had here as far as the jumpstart, things for you to think about and focusing on. And so based on that, being that, Nancy, you're still the only one on the call, do you have any questions that you'd like to ask at this point?
No, I think that's a good basis to start with.
Okay. So yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of things here. What I said is, you know, try to focus on one or two, something that you can try and focus on in the next 90 days. Work to try and again get it in little bites and pieces. You know, 90 days takes you into just before Thanksgiving at this point, and that's when you're going to want to try and get something, one of these things done, get it in place, get going, whether it's a newspaper article or being on the radio, let's say, that you can get involved with that. Obviously, if you can get a book started, that would be great, and try and focus on that, because if you don't get it done by tax season, then generally it's one of those things that's going to get put on the back burner. But that's why we need to focus on trying to do this within 90 days here. So,
what do you think about the book that Salim was offering?
His author, the licensing book that he's got?
Right.
Yeah. It's a great way to get started, Nancy. You know, the point is I'm saying here is that it's better to have something than nothing. Obviously, the biggest concern in that I've talked about is, you know, trying to maybe change the title a little bit or something that makes sense so that it's not exactly the same as his. But other than that, you know, if you figure, you know, they're doing a lot of the work. Now, again, I mentioned that licensing is the most expensive way to do it. But, you know, if you do it and you do it right, then generally, and if you, you know, if you were to get started on that sooner than later, then the goal would be to try and finish, you know, theirs takes a little bit longer in the process. If you can get that done by, say, by the end of January, then that would be perfect as you're going into tax season and you actually have a book. It does take...
When you go in...
Go ahead.
Well, if you go into Amazon with the title of that book, you've got, like, now you've got 6 books with the same, almost the same title with a different region on them, with a different author.
Right, and so that was the thing that I would suggest, that you can change and alter the title of the book. It doesn't have to be the exact same, you know, thing starting, you know, with where are you, Nancy? What state?
I'm in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, so you're in Illinois. You could have it, you know, say in Chicago or Illinois, but I would suggest that you would maybe change, instead of the straight talk, I think is what his starts with, you know, come with some variation of that title that might be, so that, again, if somebody were to go looking for it on Amazon, they're not going to pull up the 5 or 6 books that all start with straight talk. But that is an option that you can do with that. But again, if you have the wherewithal to do that, like I said, it's going to be the most expensive way to do it. But it's
how hard
it's
is it to get a book published?
It's actually very easy.
Is it?
You know, there was a site that I was looking at over the weekend. Again, I'm trying to think of what it's called. Give me a second here. I should be able to. What's it called?
Did anybody sign up for this program besides me?
Yeah, there was 5 people. 5 people. You just happened to be, actually, somebody else just joined the call here a couple minutes ago. But it's called Smashwords. There's a site called Smashwords that you can actually publish your book on their site, and you can offer it for free. Again, keep in mind, when you're creating a book, the point of the book in our instance is not to generate a lot of money from sales of a book.
Right.
Your book is predominantly going to be for giving away and showing, hey, I've got a book. And so Smashwords was one of those ways where you can create an ebook, and then obviously from an ebook you can always get it printed. There are many ways to get that printed. You don't have to, you know, being in our technology age, you don't have to go to the big publishing houses to get a book, you know, have them read your book and see that, you know, if it's something that's worth printing. And there are many ways, and if you use, like you mentioned earlier, Saleem's program, one of Saleem's part of the program is that they help you get it on Amazon, and I forget the site, there's a where you post those professionally, CreateSpace or something like that, I think is what it's called. But you know, I think even Smashwords says they help you if you, I forget what it is, but there's a way that they can help you get on Barnes and Noble's and the Apple Store or something of that nature. So, you know, they have a lot of different ways to do that. And, you know, self-publishing is obviously the cheapest, but it's just the most time-consuming. The next step up is, you know, hiring somebody to help you create and write the word. It's you know, that's the ghostwriting, where they're really the writer, but it's your book. And that's the in-between. So you just kind of have to decide what's better for your budget, what's better for how you operate, that if you work very efficiently, you know how to segment things, you can set aside time to be able to write, then, and you find yourself a decent writer, or even for that matter, as I mentioned before, there's these transcription type software where you can talk into it. And the key there is that you want to get the words on paper, so it's not important when you first do it that you focus on punctuation and grammar. Get it into the document, and then you can go back and do that, or you can even pay somebody else to go back and do that. It's a lot cheaper to pay somebody to come back in and review the grammar and things like that. You could probably do that for, you know, a few $100 and have somebody do that that edit of stuff. But, you know, it's a lot easier that once it's on paper, you can always go back. I don't know how it is with you, but for me, you know, if it's on paper, it's a lot easier for me to go back and read and edit and adjust something.
Yeah, getting it on paper is my biggest.
Right.
But I'm a big procrastinator, and I need to get it done the easiest way.
Right. If you're a procrastinator, that's where the licensing aspect that Salim offers is a great thing.
But the ghostwriter you're talking about, are you going to cover that more on Wednesday?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that a little bit more on how that works in regards to the book authorship aspect of it.
Okay. Yeah, I was surprised at where you are. I actually lived in Cocoa Beach for a while. I have a house there in Cocoa, and I know a couple people in your B&I group.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's interesting how small a world it is. So.
It is, yes.
Yeah. So who else joined the call here a few minutes ago? Who else is out there? I don't know if you've muted yourself or there's somebody else listed on the call. But anyway, any other questions that you got? Say it again?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, then that's really all I have for today, everybody. And thank you for joining the call, Nancy, and your questions. And we'll pick up again on Wednesday, the 26th at 1 p.m., and we will take off from there talking about the book authorship webinar. Okay?
Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay, super. Thank you,
Bye.
Nancy. I'll talk to you later. Have a great
Bye.
Day. Bye.
You too.